We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
To In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time.
Two, In the Know. This is the trade deadline edition. The trade deadline has passed. Anthony Davis remains a Pelican. I want to start this podcast off with a giant suck it to all the Lakers fans. I doubt any of you guys listen to this podcast, but hey, if you do, suck it.
That was very eloquent. I don't think I could have put it better. I was checking Twitter right on the deadline. Said to bring me your tears, Lakers fans, and promptly logged off for about an hour because I did not want to see anything on there afterwards.
Lakers fans are insane. One of the Pelicans beat writers was put in a group DM with what he assumed to be one Laker fan and about 49 bots. And they were all sending him the same GIF and telling him all kinds of obscenities and telling him to go kill himself. So, good times with Laker fans online.
Yeah, man. Drew had a good tweet about it. It's something that, like, one person runs every single Lakers Twitter, Lakers fan Twitter account, because they all made the same shitty jokes about Katrina and relocation and how the Pelicans are a poverty franchise. So it's really clever stuff, because
it's Hollywood, right? So everything is scripted, yeah. And they all get handed the same script.
Yeah.
So they just read like off that. It.
Yeah.
Anywho, hey, whatever. The deadline has passed. Davis is a Laker. The Pelicans now have the opportunity to trade with Boston. And what's more is that the Pelicans issued a statement today that they plan on playing Anthony Davis, and he will be suiting up in a Pelicans uniform. Now, before I get into my... I have a rant that I really want to go on. I really want to go on, and I'm going to. But before I get into that, I just want to get your thoughts on that.
I have a hunch that I'm going to echo or agree with whatever you're going to say. And it's weird because I was the one, I think, a week or so ago that told you, it was like, you know, they really can't I mean, I had concerns about the Players Association or the NBA being upset about wanting to sit him. And I told you it made sense for all the basketball reasons. You don't want to, you don't want him to get hurt, obviously. You want to play the young guys and get your pick as bad as possible, or the record as bad as possible to get a pick. But I think just the way everything unfolded between like a week and a half ago, between like the night of the trade request and now, it's been a long 10 days or so. And my mentality, I don't know, I didn't think I'd be this mad about it, but I'm pretty mad about it. And now I'll pause there because I'm going to tee you up. I really want to hear you go off. So let it rip.
Okay. I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off at every party involved except for the Pelicans, because here's why. The Pelicans, as much as the statement said it was their decision, it was not their decision. Okay. Yep. They had their hand forced by the NBA. Here's how the NBA works. They don't put this stuff in writing. What they do is they strongly suggest this is what you should do. And then they give you very specific guidelines on what you should do. But it's not written down, and they're not saying, oh, you better do this. No, they are going to strongly recommend you do this. And what they strongly recommend the Pelicans do is they play Davis every possible game you could play him. But not only that, he isn't allowed to deviate from his average minutes by a significant amount. So it's not like you can just check him in and sub him out in 3 minutes into the first quarter and call it a night. No, you're looking to play him 27, 30, 33 minutes a night. And you know what? Alvin's probably going to end up playing him the same amount of minutes because he's going to end up trying to win games for whatever crap reason. But that's a separate topic. But the thing is, the NBA says you cannot deviate from his average minutes. So that sucks, right? And the thing is, it's like, okay, well, what if the Pelicans go, screw you guys, we're going to just eat whatever fines you throw at us because it's just simply not worth us risking our asset. Well, they can't, because the fines are daily fines and they grow, and then you get into the loss of draft picks. And this is not me speculating. This is, I'm going to say this very clearly. I got told by two different sources today that would be the outcome if the Pelicans chose to sit Anthony Davis or go against anything that the NBA suggested. So I think it's absolutely ridiculous that to save the image of the league, because they're like, oh, well, you know, we can't bench a healthy superstar and it looks bad because the team is trying to tank, that they're going to risk a whole franchise's future on this dude staying healthy. It's absolutely absurd to me. And then that's on the league side, okay? The second part of it is Anthony Davis. Dude, you wanted out from this team. You said they weren't enough for you. You said it's your time to go do something else. Why do you want to keep playing? I mean, the answer is obvious. He wants his numbers. He wants his legacy. He wants all NBA. He wants the accolades. Great. But it is extremely selfish and self-centered, man. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, you wanted this trade. You made it all about you. And now you want to play because you want your numbers. And what you're doing is you're taking away minutes from guys who need it. You're taking away minutes from Ja, who needs those development minutes. You're taking away minutes from Kenrich, who needs those development minutes. And then all these guys who the last week or so have been fighting hard, playing a very energetic brand of basketball. Now you come in and you already have 2 feet out the door. Not just 1 foot, 2 feet. You're going. You're leaving. You're not part of this team anymore. And all of a sudden, you're going to get 30 minutes a night, and the team's going to try to fit you in, and it's just going to be an utter disaster. And then there's going to be media availability. Like, how awkward is that going to be? You're just going to ask Anthony about, like, oh, what'd you feel about this game? I'm not. It's a total mess, and Davis needs to open his eyes, and for the lack of a better term, he needs to pull his head out of his ass. Like, this is stupid. There's no reason for him to be playing. It's a lose-lose situation for everyone involved, including him if he gets hurt. Like, what is he playing at? I don't know. That's my rant.
Yep. well said. I have nothing to add. The only other element to this is obviously the Pelicans draft pick, which is secondary or even not. I mean, that's just purely in the Pelicans' best interest to make. I mean, it goes hand in hand with playing your young guys to try to get those guys experience. You're probably going to lose games, and you know, if you're thinking about a rebuild, you obviously want that pick to be as good as possible. But that by itself is definitely not a reason to sit AD. But everything kind of in collection, it's a total mess. It just feels unfair. Like, you know, if you're gonna request a trade in the middle of the season, you've played your hand. You made your bed and now you sleep in it. And if the Pelicans choose to sideline you for all the reasons that you mentioned, you deal with it. I don't know. Requesting a trade in season like that is, you know, I don't like it, obviously, even if I don't care whose team you play for. But once you do that, you should lose certain, permissions granted to the rest of the players in the league, you know? And I don't know.
I said Fletcher had me, or Sharif had me on WDSU today, and he asked me the same question: would you play Anthony Davis? And I said, the moment you ask for a trade, you forfeit the right to put on a Pelicans uniform ever again. And you can call it extreme, but that is what it is. You are no longer a part of the team. You just aren't. And then you have guys who, you know, every pass they take, they're going to think like, oh, well, you know, this dude is dogging it on the court. He didn't go contest that shot. He didn't go set the screen. He didn't do, you know, every little thing snowballs. They're going to be looking at you. It's like, oh, he's not, like, I'm over here trying to win this game. I'm working my butt off. What is this dude doing?
So I guess my question, given the things you talked about and what people told you about what the kind of quote unquote rules are, what can the Pelicans do? So can they, I mentioned back-to-backs, and I think it's totally fair game for the Pelicans to say no back-to-backs for you. I mean, for example, they play Friday and Saturday night. They play at home against Minnesota, and then they play on the road against Memphis the next night. I think it's totally fair game to sit AD against Memphis. I mean, call it whatever you want. I mean, the Raptors have been doing it with Kawhi all damn season. Like, I don't, you know, you can't start making exception after exception for how to handle these situations. And like then you get to like the end of the season, teams rest their good players all the time if they're trying to tank and lose games at the end of the year. Like, the NBA can't try to force the Pelicans' hands in a way that's different from how other teams would normally operate, right? I mean, there has to be some sort of, you know, give in this situation. They can't just say, you've got to play AD 30 minutes a night, 35 minutes a night, every night for the rest of the season, right?
Yeah, there's definite give in here, and I think the Pelicans, they need to do everything they can to be maliciously compliant. They need to do the bare minimum of what it is, and you know, that's resting AD every other game if they need to. That's sitting him, you know, sitting him in fourth quarters, playing him 30 minutes. Okay, no more fourth quarters for you. Let the young guys close it out. Every step that they can take,
the Rondo treatment,
basically. Yeah. I mean, every step that they can take to preserve him, preserve his minutes, just not play him, everything they can do to incentivize him not to play. Any ding or bump or bruise he gets, they need to milk that for as long as they can. Those are the steps they need to take.
So just like every other game.
Right. it's just absurd to me. Like, we saw what happened last year to DeMarcus Cousins. Why is the NBA willing to take that gamble to save face? I mean, it's all about image, right? You can't sit a healthy superstar. If he hurts himself, well, that superstar is gone. And you're like, okay, well, he can hurt himself playing too, but these games are meaningless. He hurts himself, all of a sudden a whole franchise in your league loses all the leverage it has, and its future is torpedoed. You're going to risk, you know, it's like penny wise, pound foolish. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Absurd. Anywho,
yep.
Moving on.
Yep. We've beaten this one to shreds, or ripped it to shreds. I think we're good on that. Any other, before you just move on to some other trade deadline stuff, any other last words for Lakers fans or about the entire situation regarding AD and the trade deadline?
Suck it. That's all
that
I got.
Beautiful. Yeah, pumped. And it's, I mean, the only other thing I'll say is that I'm shouting out our entire group and really the entire local media in the city of New Orleans. Now, I feel like most most of the local media, blogs, newspapers, whatever you want to call it, were all in lockstep from the get-go here and were like, their Pelicans aren't going to trade him. And, I mean, even this, not just the leaks from Clutch or from the Lakers or whoever, but you did see some national media people who were thinking, oh, this trade really might happen with the Lakers. But I don't really think virtually anyone from New Orleans ever gave that a second thought. And I, you know, from all accounts that we've heard, that was exactly what happened. And, you know, good on the Pelicans for holding strong.
Here's a fun little nugget that I heard today. This pod is full of nuggets. You're not going to get many pods like this, but you know, why not? It's fun. The whole stuff about New Orleans, there's a component of the New Orleans brain trust that wants to do the trade and get it out of the way and yada, yada, yada. Well, that was Alvin Gentry. Alvin really likes Lonzo. Alvin wanted to get a team in front of him. He wanted to coach the young players, have a real season, not have a PR mess and drag drama out. Alvin's looking at it from the perspective of a coach. He wants the players now. He doesn't want a messy locker room. The guys in the front office don't directly deal with that. So, like, you know, that I see it from his point of view. It's not – Alvin's not in any position to be making decisions, and he knows that. He can offer input, but the front office – and that's not just Dell Demps. That's Mickey Loomis. That's the people above Loomis. That's Danny Ferry. Those guys are doing tremendous amounts of research, and they're going to do what's best for the franchise. Alvin's input from a coach's standpoint is, hey, I just want a team. I don't want a messy locker room. And Lonzo would be really cool in my system.
Yeah, and you gotta think that I'm not saying Gentry thinks he's gonna get fired at the end of the season, but with the situation with AD, you've got to at least be a little bit concerned about that reality. And even if you think there's no way to even save your job just because the Pelicans made clean house, you want to look. I mean, assuming you want to coach again, you sure don't want to look, or just in general, you just don't want to look bad. You want to finish, you know, doing everything you could with the team when your head, your head held high. So, totally understand that kind of thought process from him.
But aside from that, the Pelicans front office had a pretty unified front. They weren't going to take the Lakers deal unless they were completely blown away, in which we saw they were not blown away. They have every single incentive to wait. And it's going to be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so moving on, trade deadline. Pelicans made two trades. The first trade they did was a salary exchange almost to help Washington get under the tax. And they sent Wesley Johnson, and they received Markieff Morris and a future second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
Yeah, good. I mean, the first thing I called out when I saw the pick, I immediately went to Basketball Insiders and looked at John Wall's contract, and the second round pick is in the last year of his deal. So John Wall has a player option in 22-23 season for $47 million, and like, this is even before he was coming, before the Achilles tear, which is obviously just brutal and really sad for Wall. But that was already a ridiculous amount of money for John Wall, and now the Pelicans own their second round pick at that year, which, you know, I think I mean, as you get more information, things change, but that certainly feels like a top 40 pick to me. And so that's a great move. Yeah, I mean, Wesley Johnson's not a guy you want to play down the stretch anyway. Markieff Morris, as we know, as of tonight, the Pelicans waived him to make room for the second trade, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But it sounds like, from what I've heard, Morris isn't going to play this season. So it was just like you said, it was just they took on about $1 million in prorated salary to pay out, and that second round picks typically go for more than that anyway, especially one that could then end up in the first half of the second round. So very, very good move.
Yeah, good move. And cool little nerdy nugget about that move is the Wizards absorbed Wesley Johnson into their disabled player exception they were granted for the John Wall trade, allowing them to generate a much larger trade exception valued at Markieff Morris's salary, and that exception doesn't go away after this year. It lasts a full year, and what's really cool about that is we here at Bourbon Street Shots wrote about this very scenario. Obviously, we were trying to write about it in the context of trading for Bradley Beal, but we mentioned very explicitly trading someone like Wesley Johnson, who we named, into the Wizards disabled player exception to generate a larger exception for them as a nice little trade bonus. So very cool that that actually went into play. Shout out to Jason, who kind of came up with this on the fly while he and I were at a game. And we saw the John Wall news break and we're like, wait a minute, is this, can we do something with this? So cool stuff, nerdy, probably means nothing to most of y'all, but kind of, it's kind of rewarding to see that we were able to think like they were able to think for a brief moment. A second trade that was made, a bigger trade, Nikola Mirotic was sent to the Milwaukee Bucks in a trade that netted us Stanley Johnson from the Pistons, Jason Smith, welcome back, and four second round picks. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, the Bucks were in a team, I think that they have a couple first round picks they owe in the near future anyway, and so that was not going to be something that I think they could get from Milwaukee anyway. And if you're not going to get, I mean, honestly, there's a good case to be made that if you're trying to decide between a pick that's going to probably land between 25 and 30 and 4 second-round picks, including two that might be pretty good from, again, the Wizards, I can easily make the case that I'd rather the 4 second-round picks. So I mean, I think it was another good deal. Obviously, Nico was a really fun year with him in New Orleans. He did still have some value to the Pelicans as a potential since they still had his bird rights. But at this point, we don't even know if the Pelicans are going to be over the cap depending on what they do with the AD trade. So, I think it was a good move by Dell. You don't often see four second round picks coming to a team in a single transaction. So. It was good work by the Pelicans.
Look, I'm going to miss Nico. He was
for sure
one of my favorite players during his brief tenure as a Pelican. I think it's safe to say he's one of the more likable players that I've seen on the Pelicans team in a very long time. Just a great all-around person, super nice when you're talking to him, when you're interviewing him. Just an awesome dude. Milwaukee is going to really enjoy him. He's going to kill it with the Bucks. It's a great system for him. He's going to thrive off the attention Giannis gets. All good stuff. And it's awesome that the Pelicans did right by him and they sent him to a contender. You know, they're giving him a chance to make a run to the finals, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. They could have sent him literally anywhere. So, and then they netted four first-round picks, two of which end up being the
second round
picks. Sorry, jeez, four first round picks would be insane. No, they got four second round picks, two of which ended up being Washington's picks as well. So we had three Washington picks, all while John Wall is going to be recovering, and some of them coincide with the high school draft that's now going to be allowed. They're going to get rid of the one and done rule, so high schoolers are going to be allowed. So imagine taking a stab at some high schoolers with those second round picks. It's a good gamble for the Pelicans. And then Stanley Johnson, who has largely not been much of a factor in the NBA, he has one discernible skill, and he's really good at it. He's really good at defense. Just awful. Awful at everything offense related. Cannot shoot. Cannot really play make. I mean, he rebounds. He hustles. But the Pelicans, get 2 or 3 months to look at him to see if they want to do anything with him. I think what's likely going to happen is the Pelicans probably going to extend him a qualifying offer, unless they really think that they're in the market for a bigger free agent, or they need more room to absorb whatever's coming back from the Davis trade. Because I doubt that Stanley Johnson's going to get paid much.
Yeah. On the open market. You know what's going to happen. This is going to be Al-Farouq Aminu 2.0.
I was just thinking about that, man. I was looking at his stats, and I was looking at Aminu's stats. Aminu shot like 27% from three all of his years in like New Orleans and in Dallas. And in Dallas, people were like, oh, like he looked pretty decent playing the four position. It's like, all right, cool. And then he got to Portland, and he started shooting 35% from three on like way more attempts. You're like, what happened? So it'd be kind of cool if that happened to him. I'm not putting my eggs in that basket at all. I'm not betting on it. But yeah. I think he's a fun guy. I think Drew's going to enjoy playing him with him. Drew really respects someone who plays defense like Santley does. He is probably the best defensive small forward the Pelicans have had in the last 10 years.
Did they have a reason the past 10 years? Because I feel like he counts.
Yeah, they did, but was he good then?
I guess he just couldn't shoot.
True. Okay.
That's still a point in and of itself.
They've this is definitely the best defensive small forward they've had in Anthony Davis's tenure, in the Anthony Davis era.
So speaking of calls gotten right, or in my case with this one, almost right. Zach Lowe put out an article just right before we started recording about some of the stuff that went on during the day, and a couple interesting Pelicans related nuggets out of that one. One that the Pels had talked before the Tobias Harris trade in Philly for swapping Markelle Fultz and Nico Mirotic, which I threw out there like a week ago, and I got a lot of pushback for it. People apparently think Fultz is dead and just like has no possible future in the NBA, which I still think is pretty damn premature for a guy who's just in his second year. I'm not saying he's going to figure it out. And I also would not have paid I do think the Magic's trade that ended up getting Fultz, that first round pick in the deal, is pretty heavily protected. As in like top 20 protected.
Was that the only first round pick that moved this deadline?
I think it might have been. Oh no, there was didn't the Rockets use one for
Brandon Knight?
Yeah.
Okay, so two first round picks got moved this deadline, which make it reasonable for the Pelicans not to have secured one for Mirotić, but they got 4 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. And they also, I mean, you look at what they, I mean, that would have been a haul. They would have basically gotten more for Nico for half a year than they had to trade to get him. Cause they got cause they also got off of Omer Asik's contract when they traded for him. So,
I mean, the way I see it is like you got 4 first-round picks. Milwaukee just traded, I keep saying first round, 4 second-round picks. Milwaukee just traded those 4 seconds for a player like Nico Mirotić. Let's say we don't turn each draft pick into a player. Sometime in the future, we need a player like Nico Mirotić. We send 4 of our picks of our own. You know, it's like people say that second round picks don't develop into players. Well, you can always use them as assets, and it seems like these days, the going rate at the deadline is a few seconds here or there and expiring that gets you a rotation player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they matter. I mean, they're not often franchise changers, but they definitely matter. And having them is better than not having them. And so I think, good move. Good job not to. I mean, I think one thing we've heard about Dell is that we've come to think about Dell is his he tends to find himself committing some sunk cost fallacies, and it's good that he didn't draw a line in the sand on what he wanted back for a certain player and nothing less. And I think that's something that he may have fallen victim to in the past, but I think now he's he's kind of gotten past that, and the Pelicans I think had a pretty damn good trade deadline.
I think it was solid. Good on Dell. I cannot comment on if it's enough to save his job, but I think that is not for like a lack of trying. I think that's just the organization is at a point where it just makes a lot of sense to wash everything away.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I feel like we can. It's okay to say someone who's maybe has done a subpar job overall has also done some good things, and it's fair to call out when those good things happen. So, the one thing I did think about that you mentioned earlier today in our Bourbon Street Shots chat was just what given what we saw over the last 24 hours of the trade deadline, if AD hadn't made his trade request, even if he was still thinking about probably doing it this summer, if he hadn't made his trade request and the Pelicans weren't selling at the deadline, some of these guys that were just available for peanuts, like your Harrison Barnes of the world or Otto Porters of the world, obviously they come attached to some pretty significant salary, but they were just their teams kind of just dumped them. I mean, they were just get off the salary. And obviously with the Wizards, you had the Wall injury they were thinking about. But you know, there were players to be had, and obviously the buyout market also is going to be crazy.
The buyout market is going to be insane. Everyone's going to be bought out. Yeah, I mean, in a way, the Pelicans definitely could have put together a squad to contend into the playoffs. They wouldn't have been like a serious title contender or anything. But also in a way, this trade request kind of saved us from ourselves, because this trade request would have come in the summer, and then we would have had Harrison Barnes and Otto Porter salary in our books, and we were like, all right, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
So all in all, I think it was an excellent trade deadline. I think Dell has nailed his last three deadlines. I have to think back what he did in the previous ones, but I don't think he's messed up a single deadline since he's been here. I think he's been a deadline dealer and just crushed every single deadline. They nailed this one. Biggest part of it is that Davis is not a Laker, and they have an opportunity to negotiate with the Celtics, the Knicks, the Clippers, and whoever else may want to throw their hat in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I give this deadline an A in my book.
It feels weird giving anything an A that just resulted in not doing something and some second round picks. But I mean,
I won't give it an A plus because we were not able to move Randall and or Moore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with not moving each one because in theory you can still move him this summer. He's still got a year left.
Yeah,
obviously, I think we would have liked to move Randall, but. It is what it is. Just give Jason Smith all of his minutes, right?
Every single one. Start Jason and Ja. Bring AD off the bench. Have the best bench. Bring AD, Drew, and Randall all off the bench. You know what's crazy to me? And we should probably end the podcast after this, but it's crazy to me that Alfred and Etuan are still listed as injured. Those guys are still on the team, and they're presumably going to play when they get healthy. The Pelicans are probably going to have a decent team when healthy. You know, like, not a world-beating team, but they're going to have, like, a 500 or better team. And then, like, what if they start figuring it out and they make a run towards the playoffs? Like, that's going to suck, right? Or is that great? Like, do we want the playoffs? Like, what do we do then?
I mean, even if they make a run, that ship is sailed. I just don't. I mean, the Kings clearly made a move to get better. The Lakers are. I mean, they're not going to be worse. I mean, they're going to get Ball back pretty soon, and they had LeBron out for a little while, and he's going to be back. And so, while it'd be easier to jump through a few teams, like a couple teams selling,
for sure.
Yeah, and Dallas probably.
Dallas, Memphis. I mean, we already passed Memphis. I don't know. I'm just saying. We got these players who are hurt. We've kind of forgotten about during this mess, and then they're going to be healthy, and then we're going to win games.
So, hooray. I mean, and it's going to be awkward,
very awkward during the whole process.
Speaking of awkward, let's end on this. One last thing. What's the crowd reception for AD going to be like tomorrow?
Ugh, boos.
Oh.
I'm thinking boos. There's no way they cheer him.
Yep.
Does he start tomorrow? Do you think he starts?
Yeah, I think so. I'm cool with that not happening. But
they better start Ja. I don't.
Are they?
Care about Randall at all. Ja better start. And hell, at this point, you start Kenrich. Like, what is stopping you? You're starting Drew, Frank, Kenrich, Ja, and then sure AD, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I would say. You know, I would say you maybe introduce AD like third. So obviously you make Drew the focus, but like you introduce AD first, you don't introduce him last. You just make him like one of the starters, right?
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm interested to see what kind of questions he's going to get. I have a feeling he's going to start dipping the locker room very frequently and very early.
Yep.
All righty. Cool. Well, thanks for listening to In the Know. It's a shorter episode, but there was a lot going on this week, and we'll be back next week.